This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The realities of an ongoing trade war playing out from Wall Street to Main Street. Stocks plummeting to new lows today as concerns grow over President Trump's rolling tariffs. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis has been talking with business owners.
They say it's just not possible to stay in business and continue to pay these tariffs without making customers pay something higher. They also tell me they don't have an alternative. They can't just turn around and start producing things here in the United States because things cost more to produce in Mexico. Either the manufacturing facilities aren't here or the supplies aren't here.
In Ontario, lawmakers announcing reciprocal tariffs on U.S. electricity.
1.5 million Americans in the states of Michigan, Minnesota, and New York currently get their power from Canada, which is now adding a 25% surcharge onto electricity that goes to the U.S.
ABC Sherry Preston, Ontario's premier, calling for an end to the trade war. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX.
Wisconsin's Democratic elected officials are pushing back on the Trump administration's plans to let go of tens of thousands of VA workers. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
New reports show the administration plans to cut as many as 80,000 jobs at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. This move will likely impact veterans care and services across the country. The mass terminations of federal employees suddenly and without advance notices throws tens of thousands of Americans across the country into chaos.
According to federal officials, Wisconsin has about 11,000 VA workers. Meteorologists are concerned about public safety as the Trump administration plans layoffs at the National Weather Service. With more, here's Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz.
UW-Madison meteorology professors Jonathan Martin and Steve Ackerman say any pullback of the severe weather forecast provided by National Weather Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration could put lives at risk. Ackerman says many employees being described as probationary are in fact experienced professionals at the agencies. The numbers to be let go remain unclear.
The NWS has three offices in Wisconsin, including one here in La Crosse. Several committees meet ahead of the La Crosse Common Council meeting on Thursday. Today, it's the Board of Public Works, which will consider a request to end the leases by the city brewery for parking lots near the brewery in an ongoing dispute between the city and the brewery over odor emissions. The Climate Action Committee also meets today to review several agenda items, including a pair of requests that would go to the Common Council later this week. Four other committees will meet before Thursday. Meeting. It'll feel like spring today as high temperatures will be in the 70s in many places across the Cooley region. Gusty winds will cool temps off to the 30s overnight, with highs topping out near 50 degrees tomorrow. Then we warm back up by the end of the week when we're expected to get a round of wet weather Friday into Saturday. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm
NFL free agency underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making big moves on the offensive line. First, they decide not to re-sign center Josh Myers after 4 years. Next, they sign 27-year-old guard Aaron Banks from the 49ers to a four-year deal worth $77 million. And that means Elgton Jenkins, or another player, will have to move over to the center position. On defense, the Packers are losing defensive lineman T.J. Slayton to the Bengals. Slayton agrees to a two-year contract with Cincinnati worth just over $15 million. College basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers have slipped from 12th to the 18th ranked team in the nation after losing at home to struggling Penn State on Saturday. Marquette goes from 20th to 25th after their loss to St. John's. The Bucks losing to the Cavaliers last night, 112 to 100 at Fiserv Forum.
Offensively, we're not good enough to win the game. I thought just standard defense, we did enough to win the game. We didn't do anything else enough.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid-40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. It's 71 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show joining us at 10:33 to kick around all the Wisconsin news. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You can be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board and the sound and the phones for you folks today. Harvey Kay, our favorite Delano Democrat, he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. He's a professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. And he's a cool cat and a friend of mine, friend of ours. Mm-hmm. So he's going to join us today as well. Lots of news to get to. But let me start out by just saying this. And I know everyone's like on your edge of your seat. No, I am not wearing pants. I got shorts on today, baby. It's 69.
The shorts and flip-flops are bad.
You knew it when I walked in.
I
flip,
did.
Flip, flip, flip.
Oh, yeah.
I am not a ninja in my flip-flop, my little block feet, you know, my Barney Rubble feet.
You're not that much of a ninja in the sneakers either.
No, you're right. But it was a beautiful day here in Southeast Wisconsin. It was 69 degrees when I was driving down here. I literally had to like stop and like take my pants off, put some shorts on.
Stop at the side of the road, take some pants off.
I stopped at the house. I can't do it when I'm driving, you know, it's too dangerous. So a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. Hope you're able to enjoy some of it. Man, it feels like we're turning the corner on all that. Of course, daylight savings time or whatever mode we're in right now, that the jumping forward an hour thing. You know, all the automatic stuff, you know, goes. My computer, my Apple Watch, and my phone. But I have an older clock, let's put it that way. And it eventually kind of turns. I think it, like, jumps early. I know, it's just weird. I could, like, work on it and manually do it. But it didn't automatically jump.
So it is connected.
Forward. Somehow, it's somewhere, just, right. It's just
it
not.
It takes its time.
I don't know. Now, I could look into it, but I'm like, no worries. You know, it's still an hour behind. Mm-hmm. I'll know that in the morning when I'm sleeping. I didn't know.
No.
I woke up, like, 5:30. I should probably get up, like, half hour. Oh my God, it's like trying to plan, you know, and I knew this. I knew I have a watch on. I'm sleeping with my watch. I just kind of looked at the clock, you know, trying to jam 10 hours into an 8-hour day. That didn't help.
Doesn't always work.
That did not help. So I will vote for anybody who gets rid of this. Please, let's not do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But, so even Agreed. Though I knew it was coming and I didn't change the clock and it still got me. So yeah, there's that. Oh, and the studio clock.
Oh, we are talking about it on air. Okay.
The studio clock still says 3:09.
Uh-huh.
It's 4:09.
It's 4:09.
Okay. I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work through this, Jess, with your help.
I literally went to the engineers going, he's going to grumble about it the whole show.
I was sitting right next to you. I'm like, I'm right here.
Was I wrong?
You were totally right.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, but we're good. It's going to be great. Lots of news to get to today. Bernie Sanders, our favorite senator, my favorite. He was in town capacity crowds all over the state of Wisconsin. Yeah, man, that's good stuff. We're going to review that just a little bit. We got some fact-finding, some thumbs up, thumbs down, true or false stories on from the Wisconsin Watch, from the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford. There's been lots of stories. We're going to go through some of that reporting as well. As also mentioned, Harvey K going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Well, it's been a few weeks for Harvey, so I know we're going to have a lot to catch
up on. Oh yeah.
But let's start out where the markets are today, man. I mean, this is the story of the day. Everywhere you turn, every news feed, every notification I've been getting is talking about what a terrible day it was on the markets. And of course, looking back over the last several weeks, not great.
It's not
at
a
all.
Great trend.
No, not a great trend. And we're lower now during the Trump presidency than we were before officially. We do have some sound. Donald Trump, and this maybe would be some of the trigger, not really exuding confidence, let's say.
It didn't help.
No, it did not. Maria Bartiromo was asking Trump about the possibilities of recession. Let's play the sound, please, Jess.
Are you expecting a recession this year?
I hate to predict things like that.
Yeah.
There is a period of transition because what we're doing is very big. We're bringing wealth back to America.
Huh?
That's a big thing. And there are always periods of, it takes a little time, but I think it should be great for us.
It's going to be a little bit of transition.
It's going to be great.
You know, I work out, Jess. You know, the old saying.
Yeah, he thinks he's an athlete.
The old saying, no pain, no gain. You know, no pain, no gain. And it seems like that's what he's basically saying, folks. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall him when he ran, when all you megas voted for him because the price of milk and eggs and all that was too high, that this is what you were hoping for. I can't imagine. I mean, were you? When you voted for Trump, you know, a lot of folks are like critical of me and, oh, you don't want Trump to succeed or whatever that means, because of course that's subjective. But are you hoping, when you voted for him, were you hoping for a recession? Were you hoping for the market to tank? Was that what you were thinking? Were you thinking, you know, a little period of transition? Well, how long of a period of transition, sir? Is that a week? Is that a month? Is that a quarter? Is that a couple of quarters? I what are you talking about? Because of course he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He thinks it's going to be great for us. Well, he'll be okay no matter what.
He'll be fine.
He'll be okay.
He's going to be fine. Musk is going to be fine. All the billionaires that he put into his cabinet are going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. And bringing wealth back to America. What does that mean?
Well, it means he's stocked his surroundings with wealth. He's brought wealth back to the people's house.
But as a government, how do you define your wealth as a society, as a government? I literally don't know.
Well, obviously
by
the top 1%, Tom.
How many of them are and how much they have?
Yeah.
It's just strange to me because, again, I'm not sure how we or Donald Trump and his efforts, especially as it pertains to tariffs, is going to somehow make us a wealthy nation. I mean, we have obviously trillions in debt. That's why we're supposed to be going through all this whole thing. But it's not really about the debt. It's about paying for tax breaks for billionaires.
Right, okay. Right.
Just to make sure we're on
that.
Some reporting from the contrarian, Jennifer Rubin, one of our favorites, formerly of the Washington Post. Oh, yeah. Another one out at the Washington Post, Ruth Marcus, will perhaps get there as well. I got to tell you, this journalism isn't doing great. And I love the Washington Post. At least I did.
The Washington Post's journalism isn't doing great.
Not great. And it was specifically because of the ownership and the billionaires that own it. But anyway, we'll get to that. Ruth Marcus out at the Washington Post. Jennifer Rubin out a while back. Now over at the Contrarian Substack. She says this. I think our buddy Tom from LA is going to love it. Trump session. Trump is running the economy into a ditch again. Bear with me. Not too long. She gets to a lot of the points, a lot of the items that I have been thinking about. So, hell, she did the work. Let's share it with all of you folks. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. Rubin writes, an unprecedented recovery, a jobs boon, a renaissance in domestic manufacturing, and historic gains for black workers may soon be a distant memory. President Joe Biden's success in improving real incomes while fostering 21st century industries and revitalizing American infrastructure was consistently underplayed in the corporate and billionaire-owned media. Soon those outlets may be pining for the good old days. Though the full impact of president in name only, Pino, I like that, Ruben, Donald Trump's massive layoff of federal workers, erratic and inflationary tariffs, and plans for a huge deficit increase have yet to be felt. The economy is sputtering. We saw merely 151,000 jobs added in February, well below the consensus expectation of 170,000. Unemployment ticked up from 4 to 4.1%. Well, by comparison, Ruben notes, and as a reminder of the robust Biden economy, the December jobs numbers, well, that was revised upward from 307,000 to 323,000 jobs. She goes on, last week was a dreadful one for the markets, with the Dow Jones down 2.4% for the week and the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both down more than 3%. Quote, trade tensions battered markets again Thursday as traders and portfolio managers grappled with fears that policy volatility will weigh on U.S. economic performance, the Wall Street Journal reported. Declines were broad-based, with financial and tech stocks notching some of the largest losses. The dollar weakened, heading for its lowest close since Election Day and its worst four-day stretch since 2022. Ruben writes, more troubling, the growth outlook for the first quarter has plummeted. Reuters warned to be on the lookout for the Trump session. The Trump session coming from Reuters. They explained, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now model estimates an annualized growth for the current quarter was a stunning minus 2.8% on Monday. That's down from plus 2.3% last week. A 5% swing in a week.
That's not good, right?
A month ago, the model showed that the growth in January through March period, the first quarter, was tracking close to 4%. So if you look at it from a month ago, it's down 6.8%. Now, Ruben writes, that dreary projection echoes the dismal plunge in consumer sentiment, which has dropped precipitously. Consumer sentiment in January slumped the most in 3.5 years. Retail sales dropped by the most in nearly 2 years. Real spending fell at the fastest rate since early 2021. Oof. And retail giant Walmart has warned of a tough year ahead. The through line is evident. Another quote, the huge level of uncertainty being created by U.S. President Donald Trump's agenda, trade protectionism, particularly tariffs, his apparent growing closeness with Russia, and distance from traditional allies like Europe and Doge. This being taken in federal spending and employment. If these trends continue, there is no sign Trump will magically become stable or economically literate. The economic situation may deteriorate further. Now, Ruben goes on, talks about some of the very specific issues that may happen. Tariffs in Nevada, causing people to spend their money on that versus going to Vegas. His onslaught deals another blow to the housing market off already suffering due to soaring interest rates. Another quote from the Wall Street Journal. Tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports that come into force this week will make it more expensive to build housing. Around 8% of materials used to construct a new home are imported from outside the U.S., the National Association of Home Builders estimates. This includes everything from Canadian softwood, lumber used for door frames and decking, to refrigerators from Mexico. Moreover, if Trump plows ahead with mass deportations, undocumented labor, which is critical to home building, will be scarce, pushing up prices even higher. And then there's also the fear of stagflation. We're going to get into that a little bit more in Roundup. The piece from Jennifer Rubin at The Contrarian. Market's down today, folks. Not great. Not celebrating. Just saying. S&P down 2.7% today. The Dow down 2.08% today. The NASDAQ down 4% today. The Russell down 2.72%. But the VIX, man, that volatility index up 19.2%. 1%. If you were betting on that today, you made some money. Come back with us. Make some money. 855-752-4842.
This is the talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions.
Which, by the way, what is squat about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Everything happens for a reason. Such a stupid thing to say. I don't attack what you believe in or ask about the price you had to pay. I can't remember.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. See you callers and you texters lining up. Be patient, promise. We will get to you. Appreciate you being a part. Just PS working hard on the board and the phones. Also got Harvey K coming at the top of the hour. That will be at 5 o'clock. We're reviewing and going to complete this article in the Contrarian by Jennifer Rubin, pointing out the Trumpflation. No, the Trump session, not Trumpflation, Trump session. As Rubin writes, she's concerned, as many people are pointing out, not just the journalist in this case, about stagflation. As she writes, the potential for stagflation has added to economic anxiety when reduced purchases and layoffs are combined with high prices, growing deficits, declining GDP, and a massive tax cut for the rich. We may be back to tracking the quote-unquote misery index, which is inflation plus unemployment, which defined one of the worst economic crises in recent history.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, right. The business press reflects the rising panic, as Jennifer Rubin notes. CNBC, stagflation fears bubble up as Trump tariffs take effect and the economy slows. Fortune. The stagflation nightmare of the 1970s could rear its ugly head to take a toll on America's wallets and livelihoods. The Wall Street Journal, the two-headed monster stalking the economy, has a name. Stagflation. Barron's. Stagflation is one of Wall Street's biggest nightmares. How to prepare for the worst. Investopedia. Trump's tariffs flip-flop revive stagflation fears. Now even Trump, as Jennifer Rubin writes, Trump won't rule out the potential of recession. We played that sound in the first segment. If other consequences of Trump mismanagement and chaos manufacturing arise, ergo a government shutdown, a default on the U.S. debt, escalation of violence in the Middle East, the damage will be profound. Now, Rubin writes that it's not too late. It's not too late to avoid the worst pain. Trump could permanently rule out tariffs. Congress could significantly scale back the tax cuts and provide a more reasonable budget. Acting President Elon Musk could cease mindless cuts and wholesale layoffs of federal employees, and the administration could drastically scale back mass deportation. But all of that would require Trump and his mega troops recognition that they are propelling us toward economic collapse. The likelihood that this bunch will engage in some humility or self-reflection revise course, rely on economic expertise, and reject inane conspiracy theories like the globalists are sinking the stock market. That's close to zero. That ain't happening. Electing an ignorant, narcissist president and spineless supplicants who control Congress has real consequences. Tragically, the ones most affected will be the most vulnerable Americans. Jennifer Rubin, writing over at The Contrarian. CNN puts it this way. Dow falls by almost 900 points in market rout after Trump says he won't rule out a recession. And we talked about it before the break. S&P plunged by 2.7%. NASDAQ, everything down, down, down. It's not great. It's just not great. And a side note. Tesla closed down 15.4% today.
Aww.
After the U.S. presidential election in November, shares of Tesla had surged. However, Tesla stock is down almost 45% this year, wiping out its gains since November. You know, and it's a weird thing with the whole Tesla thing, because it's kind of like a hippie. It's battery, right?
Right.
It's better than burning fuels.
It started off as, right, it was those liberals who were getting the Teslas because it was energy efficient and because it was green energy.
Yeah.
How the turntables.
How it goes. And so I've had this conversation. I got friends with Tesla. I have Tesla. Yeah. They're like kind of ashamed now. Like,
I've got cousins with them who are like, I don't know what to do now. I bought this years
sticker.
Ago.
Right. I bought it before Elon Musk became president. You know, it was something along those lines. 855-752-4842. 855-75. Going to get to Bernie Sanders here in a little bit, but we got some callers. Let's get to them. Stephen from Green Bay, you are up next. Welcome, Stephen. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. I want to first say congratulations on your new show. I used to call in all the time, and I haven't called in a long time. So
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Out, so yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Secondly, who in on this phone call is surprised Donald Trump is making everything, not just eggs, more expensive. When that was something that he was running on, and I saw people were falling for it hook, line, and sinker, I was afraid that this is what was going to happen, and now everybody has to pay the price for it. And I think it's going to be a long 4 years. Ahead of us. I don't think it's going to be getting easier. I think it's just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Stephen, it's hard to disagree with you there. I'm hope, you know, we can get something out of this. And that being that perhaps it gets so bad, perhaps it gets, you know, people get so concerned of the writing on the wall that there's some pressure on those mega congressmen to change course. We're going to have some sound, perhaps we'll play a little bit later, Stephen, that, hey, this doesn't make a lot of sense, at least on the geopolitical scale. And certainly, as we've reported and as Ruben reported, the business magazines, you know, concerned about stagflation and the way this is going, that's going to have a real impact on real people, Stephen. And perhaps that will, you know, provide some pressure from their constituents if they, you know, do town halls or answer the phone and clear the voicemail messages.
But that's so hard. The people aren't happy, Dom.
Yeah, of course. And anybody who would possibly have an issue with any of this, they must be just, you know, total woke ideologues and communists. Folks, speaking of communists, Bernie Sanders, I'm just kidding. I love me some Bernie.
you say it like it's a bad thing.
That's right. I just got to stick it to those megas, man.
They don't even know
what a communist is.
I know.
It just sounds bad.
Uh-huh.
Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent, of course, he goes along with the Dems quite a bit, was in the state of Wisconsin. Talk about who's doing what and who's saying what. Well, Bernie Sanders, as his advanced age and has the motivation and energy to get out and keep pounding the pavement. Well, he was getting capacity cars, crowds, overcapacity in some cases. We got a little bit of sound of Bernie and some reporting on him on the other side. And don't forget our pal Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin. Green Bay is going to hit us up at the top of the hour. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
The
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call joined a lawsuit with 20 other states that seeks to halt the Trump administration's mass layoffs and reinstate federal employees. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The attorneys general are asking that a federal court order the Trump administration to cease the illegal mass layoffs and to reinstate those who have been fired. In the lawsuit filed on Friday, the Coalition of Attorneys General claims that the large-scale federal reductions in force, or RIF, are required to follow certain federal laws and regulations.
The lawsuit argues that a reduction in force of more than 50 employees requires by law at least 60 days' notice to state governments. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders spoke to a crowd of over 2,000 people in western Wisconsin on Saturday as part of his Fighting Oligarchy tour. Sanders appeared at Altoona High School near Eau Claire. An estimated crowd of 2,600 were on hand to hear Sanders speak out against the Trump administration and billionaire Elon Musk, who has been the face of the federal government's mass layoffs since Trump took office nearly 2 months ago. Sanders also criticized Congressman Derek Van Orden for not meeting with constituents. One person is hurt after a shooting on La Crosse's north side yesterday afternoon. The shooting happened around 4:30 p.m. on the 1200 block of Logan Street, according to the La Crosse Police Department. Officials said the person who was shot has non-life-threatening injuries and that the shooting is an isolated incident. The LCPD is asking anyone who has an outdoor camera to look for anything suspicious from that area yesterday afternoon. Tips can be sent in to La Crosse Area Crime Stoppers at 608-784-TIPS or on the P3 app. This week is the girls' basketball state tournament in Green Bay. On Thursday, boys' basketball sectionals begin after regional championships were won on Saturday. Onalaska will face West Salem in Division 2, while Aquinas will play Luther in Division 4. In D5, top-seeded Cochran Fountain City will take on Columbus Catholic. The boys' state championships will be held next week at the Cole Center in Madison. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There might be a little trouble on Planet Netflix. Despite record gains last year, the streaming platform that seems to keep adding viewers and raising prices all at the same time saw its stock go down 8.5%, according to Variety, due to what most analysts are calling slower subscriber growth and a broader market reaction to President Trump's indecision on tariffs on Canada and Mexico. I know acting pretty much sounds like a cushy gig to most people outside the biz, but during an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, actor Walton Goggins told the story of how he was bitten by a snake while filming episode 3 of season 3 of The White Lotus. The irony was that the snake was supposed to bite his co-star, Amy Lou Wood, who plays his girlfriend on the show. Macho Man Goggins owned up, though, and says he didn't exactly play it cool. Instead, he yelled, "Oh my God, I got bit by a snake," repeatedly in front of everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 30 to the low 30s. Sunshine returns tomorrow and cooler, highs in the mid 40s. But 50s return Wednesday, 60s Thursday, even 70s Friday. Showers and storms and windy Friday, rain to snow and blustery Saturday. It's 71 right now.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Wisconsin actor Dan Davies, and then we talk a little fantasy baseball with WGBW's own Peter Van Doren. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
back to the Dom and Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. We got Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. He knows a little something about democracy. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. As mentioned, Senator Bernie Sanders, man, out on the road. It's like Willie Nelson tour, man. You know, these old guys just keep going.
I know
and
how to
going. Man, gotta love it. And Bernie, as he tends to do, attracting crowds. A little bit of reporting, Ricardo Torres at the Journal Sentinel Online. Thousands packed the arena at the University of Wisconsin Parkside campus on Friday to listen to Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont, deride the influence of multimillionaire and billionaire donors in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do that a little bit around here, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's what Bernie had to say. The American people want us to end a corrupt campaign finance system. We are not a democracy when billionaires like Musk and both political parties can buy elections. This was the first stop of two in the state, as Sanders also had a rally scheduled for Altoona High School in the western part of Wisconsin on Saturday. Also,
overflow.
Thousands of people. Yeah, it was great to see that. Appreciate folks. And I saw some friends in the crowd down in at UW Parkside posting. So love it. Love to see our friends and family at these events. So appreciate that. But I think what's important is Bernie has things to say on these topics, and he's been very consistent and very articulate and very clear about his concern that the money hasn't politics. We all have those concerns. Hell, even some Republicans have those concerns. Who do they talk about? The George Soros. I mean, they're always mad when George Soros puts a lot of money in, but they're fine with it on their end. And I would just say, look, I mean, yeah, you got to do it on both sides. You're not going to come
but
to the fight with one arm behind your back.
On neither side.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Publicly financed elections, and you don't get to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, okay, money's free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
Can't put billions of dollars on an election. Just saying. We can do those things because we have the ability to elect Congress folks, and they make laws, and then, we do it. Or maybe we change the Constitution. That could happen as well.
We could.
If you care, if you can overcome the many over the money. But what is the point this time? Well, of course, we have an election coming up April 1st. Susan Crawford, let's call her the liberal. And, of course, we have the mega candidate, Brad Schimmel. We'll get to that a little bit as well.
You notice how even doing that, it's one candidate who tends to follow a bit of a more liberal progressive ideology, while the other is firmly dedicated to a specific political movement.
Well, he's the support team, right? Isn't that kind of how he probably put it
yes,
in front of his
indeed.
Donors?
Donald Trump doesn't do it alone. He needs a support team.
Yes, like a sitting Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Right, yeah. Just like that.
And of course, that's the same guy who was out, saying he's begging for money so much he had to get new knee pads from
Menards!
Of course, judges aren't supposed to ask for money.
Right.
No, he didn't do that, he says. Anyway, the story. Uh-huh. That's the guy. Bernie also concerned about the money in this race. And let's face it, folks. I mean, this is probably the biggest race in the country right now. And this
It's
going to blow away the last time around with the Protasiewicz race with money.
Hasn't passed it already, it is approaching.
Already. And we still
have
several weeks. Oh, my God.
Yep.
So Bernie Sanders from Kenosha talks about Musk intervening in this particular race. Just a one cut from Bernie, if you would, please, Jess.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening in a Supreme Court election right here in the state of Wisconsin. Against a candidate who has the very, very extreme idea that maybe women should be able to control their own bodies, not the government. Now, whatever your view may be on this Supreme Court election, I think what everybody, no matter what your position should be, should make it clear to the wealthiest person on earth that he cannot buy an election here in Wisconsin. And I want you to think about what that means. If this guy can intervene in a Supreme Court election, in one state. You tell me what mayor's race, what governor's race, what Senate race he cannot buy.
Senator Bernie Sanders at the UW Parkside in Kenosha. Love it. I love it when he puts those. They have this crazy idea that a woman should be able to, you know, what she wants with her body. Yeah. Wow. What a crazy idea. When you put it like that, Bernie, sounds really bad for the Republicans. But not everybody was welcoming the senator. Some of the locals, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lucas Hamill, a sophomore at UW Parkside, was born and raised in Kenosha County. He said he didn't understand why Sanders would come to Parkside to have an event. I find it almost disrespectful, Hamill said.
Huh?
He's not a senator here. He's not any type of political figure here. Why is he coming to a state that has nothing to do with him? Now, Hamill held up a sign that read, "Thank you, President Trump," outside of the arena with about a dozen other Schimmel supporters before going inside to watch the event. Now, on campus, Hamill said it's difficult for him to have conversations with fellow students about the race. A quote from Hamill, "I'm honestly here because I hated how they slandered Trump."
Huh?
Slandered Trump, yeah. "I'm honestly here because I hated how they slandered Trump."
I'm typically pretty bright. I tend to follow things pretty well. I didn't hear any slander, especially slander involves lying.
"I wish we can go back in time and civilly discuss things instead of swearing at me or getting into an argument where we constantly bicker at each other," said Trump supporter Hamill. Well, I mean, you're specifically saying Trump was slandered, and I don't think that's actually accurate. But whatever, maybe that's one of the problems. We're not coming from, you know, a place of similar facts. Republican Rep. Brian Stile, now he represents Wisconsin's first CD, that includes Kenosha County, said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. A fear-mongering tour. Here's what Stile had to say. "In Wisconsin, we want secure borders, control of spending, and boys out of girls' sports." Is that our priorities here, dude?
Not mine. Really.
Control of spending. So secure borders. Are you talking about keeping the fibs out? What are you talking about? You know, it's those northern Canadians, you know. Control of spending. Well, I mean, I would just, you know, look at what you guys did when Trump was in.
Mm-hmm. How about control of spending in the form of using the money that our state legislature has allocated and has been approved?
Well, he's on the federal level. He's got to leave that to the locals, Brian Stile. He doesn't worry himself about that.
He doesn't worry about those Wisconsin matters.
He's a congressman. He's a congressman. And he said he will continue working to deliver meaningful results for Wisconsin families who are still struggling from the policies that President Biden and Senator Sanders pushed over the last 4 years. Again, Brian Stile. In a statement, the Schimmel campaign said, quote, "If people of Wisconsin want to know which Supreme Court candidate has their best interest in mind, they need not look further than who is campaigning on their behalf. While Judge Brad Schimmel is endorsed by over 80 Wisconsin sheriffs, Susan Crawford is propped up by dangerous liberals like George Soros, yes, Bernie Sanders and J.B. Pritzker." And it's kind of ironic that, not ironic, perhaps certainly purposeful, that Brian Stile, the Schimmel campaign, even the local cat sophomore at school who's a Trump supporter, Lucas Hamill, didn't address the money in politics. No comments about the money in politics. That is the point. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anything to say, at least in the reporting here, about the money in politics. So, Lucas, are you fine with that, man? You fine with J.B. Pritzker and George Soros funneling millions of dollars to Susan Crawford's campaign? Is it any better or worse than, I don't know, Elon Musk giving hundreds of million dollars to Donald Trump? Or any of the varied right-wing organizations that are certainly contributing to Brad Schimmel? It's about the money and the politics, man. We're not even talking about what the policies should be. How about you know, read the room? That's what we're talking about. And for you guys to be all about this other, all these other three things, secure. It's not about secure borders, man, or boys and women's sports, or women and men's sports, or boys sports, and girls and girls and boys and girls, bathroom sports. You know, give me a break. We're talking about money in politics and the undue, some would say unconstitutional influence that it has in our election cycle, and certainly the negative impact it has on our democracy. That is what he's talking about. So if you think, Congressman Stile, that this is a fear-mongering tour, Yeah, well, maybe it is. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We, the people, should do something about it. Notice we're not even talking about what the policies should be. We're just saying, hey, how about let's get the money out of the politics? Can we agree on that? Lucas? Schimmel campaign?
Can we agree on that? Mark from Sussex texting in asking again about Harris's campaign and how much money she spent in her short campaign. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
let's get the money out.
Right. Let's do that. Let's do that. I'm down, Mark from Sussex. 855-752-4842. Let's get some callers in before we run out of time. This segment, Luann Bird, you are up. Welcome, Luann. Nice to hear from you again. What do you got for us?
You bet. Hello, friends. You're talking about money in politics, but it is not apples to apples when you're talking about George Soros giving money to the Democrats, because Elon Musk is cutting government, firing people left and right, lining his own pockets, and then funding the Republicans. It's not the same. It is totally not the same. And it is unacceptable, and we can't let Elon Musk come in here and continue to cut our important federal workers in this state and then turn around and fund a Supreme Court race. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's two different. It's not even.
Well,
the same.
I mean, I certainly, Luann, I would say it's worse. You know, the Musk situation is worse than the Soros. But okay, fair enough. But the money in the politics is still the issue, right? I mean, isn't that, are you concerned?
No,
let me ask you, do you think that the money in politics is driving factor in what we have, the problems that we have in this country? I do. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I do, because they had to spend $2.5 million on my race. That's just outrageous, and I can think of tons of other things to do with that money.
Right.
So, but if you're talking about George Soros being the same as Elon Musk, what's egregious is the pain that Musk is causing us. The veterans issues getting cut. The federal workers, what is it today? That scientists getting cut.
Yeah, that's from NASA. NASA doesn't need scientists. Well, Luann, let's put this out there too, because I want to make sure we don't put it on Musk. Musk is an unelected bureaucrat who has no power to hire or fire, according to Donald Trump, right? So this is literally Donald Trump's action. Now, Musk might be identifying the waste, fraud, and abuse, quote unquote, but this is all Donald Trump, Republican. This is all those congressmen, Stile and Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany, that go along with this. You know, Musk, the thing about Musk and this whole issue is he's up there. He's taking the arrows. He's the richest man in the world. He doesn't give a damn. So what? So we can't, I don't think, Luann, we should be putting it all on Elon Musk. He might be the messenger. He might be the enforcer in this, but he is there because of Donald Trump. He is there because of the Republican megas in Congress. Now, those folks we can kick out of office. Trump can eventually, if you don't believe a third term, Luann, he'll eventually go away. Elon Musk, man, he's a billionaire, you know, running the government. And so he's there to take the heat, right. And we got to give the heat to all the rest of the Republicans. Luann, you got 30 seconds. What do you got for us?
That's true, but what I'm saying is you can't compare. Elon Musk is spending his own money. The other Republicans are totally responsible for what he's doing. But it's his dollars we're talking about. We're talking about money in politics here. Money in politics. Elon Musk is spending billions, and then he's getting tax breaks from the work he's doing in Washington.
Yeah.
Soros is not doing that. There's
yes.
a difference.
There's definitely a difference in degree, although
investment versus a donation.
Rich people giving money and having overdue influence in our elections, it happens on all sides. I would hope we can all agree that maybe we should curtail that just a little bit. Come back with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA's Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County v. Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those preclearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich v. DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome in author Laura Ann Bird to talk to us more about what we can find in a book, or in the case of this week, a book club.
It's called a silent book club. You go to either a coffee shop or distillery or bar with a bunch of other people. You're all reading different books. You walk away from these with like great recommendations. It's sort of like a show and tell of what everyone's reading.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75-Civic. Happy Monday to us all. It is beautiful here in Wisconsin today. Hope you got a chance to get outside. The sun's out a little bit longer today, and it was 69 degrees on the way down.
Nice.
Man. Nice. Beautiful, beautiful day. So I hope you all enjoy it. Drive safe out there and stick around. We have Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, joining me in the 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock hour.
5 o'clock
five
hour.
O'clock hour.
Don't listen to the clock. Just listen to me.
Right. Kind of feel like Anchorman, you know. Don't put it on. Don't put it on the readout. He'll read anything he sees. 855-752-4842. There is some specific news I want to get into. I'm not going to have a whole lot of time in this hour, but the arrest of this Palestinian activist, Mahmoud Khalil, ordered specifically by Donald Trump. Here we go, folks. Remember, there used to be some, I don't know, what do you call that, where you actually had a chance to get yourself a lawyer and go to court. Oh, a due process. Oh, that's right. That's what
right.
That was. Okay.
That old-fashioned ideal.
You know, evidence of crime. No, apparently the evidence of crime is Donald Trump thinking this guy needs to get arrested. So we're going to address that in the next hour, perhaps with Harvey Kay. Lots of other topics there as well. But we're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the money and the efforts and so forth. Well, there's been lots and lots of ads out there. And I want to kind of go through some of the claims as articulated by our friends over at Wisconsin Watch, Tom Kircher, reporting claims on the Supreme Court candidates and the facts. And also, folks, the only scheduled debate between Susan Crawford and Brand Shibble is set for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
A one-hour debate.
Oh, God. Have you ever heard Brad Schimmel? I mean, if you haven't,
yes.
It is.
Well, I mean, I have cut plenty of sound.
Yeah, okay. But like on a debate, like in these kinds of in exchanges.
You know what? I haven't.
Yeah. So I'm fully expecting Susan's going to mop the floor of the butt. We'll wait and see.
We'll see what I'm cutting on Thursday.
So kind of the fact-checking, as it were, from Wisconsin Watch and our pal Tom over there. Some of the things that have been said. Number one, did Schimmel say he had no objection to January 6th pardons issued by Donald Trump? Survey says no. Schimmel has said he supports the presidential use of pardons, but that the rioters who were violent at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th should not have been pardoned. Crawford claimed that Schimmel had no objection to Trump's quote-unquote blanket pardons. All right, so maybe I guess he had a little objection, but what did you do about it? Nothing. You still support the guy. You know, it used to be the Republicans, a party of law and order, and now it's the MAGAs, the party of
assault, battery, and corruption.
All right, what else we got? Has another one from the Wisconsin Watch. Has Crawford supported stopping deportations and protecting sanctuary cities? Question mark?
No.
No! As Wisconsin Watch writes, there's no readily available evidence to back a Republican attack ad that claimed Crawford has supported stopping deportations of illegal immigrants or protecting sanctuary cities, which limit how much they help authorities with deportations. Another one here from Wisconsin Watch. Did Crawford sentence a child sex offender to 4 years in prison after a prosecutor requested 10 years? Yes. In 2020, Crawford sentenced a Dane County man to 4 years in prison and 6 years probation after a prosecutor requested 10 years in prison and 5 years probation. The defense requested only probation. The man was charged with touching a six-year-old's privates in a club swimming pool in 2010 and twice touching a seven-year-old girl's privates in the same pool one day in 2018. Crawford said the crimes occurring years apart made the man a repeat offender, requiring prison, but were less serious than other sexual assaults, and that 10 years was longer than needed for rehabilitation. Has Schimmel supported Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law?
Yeah.
Yeah. Schimmel has campaigned supporting the law, which bans abortion except to protect the mother's life, asking, what is flawed about it? What's flawed?
What's flawed?
What's flawed?
No exceptions for rape or incest.
No flaw there. Perfect. And he recalled in 2012 supporting an argument to maintain the law to make abortion illegal if Roe v. Wade were overturned. Schimmel also said Wisconsin residents should decide, quote, by referendum or through their elected legislature on what they want the law to say. What they want the law. I mean, hope people got the right to do with the body what they want, regardless of what you think.
Mm.
You know, like an inherent, unalienable right, for example.
Goodness, that sounds radical, Dom.
I know, it's so crazy. What else we got here? Was a sexual assault convict freed after Crawford's office failed to file an appeal? Yes. In 2001, while Crawford led the State Justice Department Appeals Unit, a lawyer in the unit failed to meet court deadline, resulting in a sex offender being freed 2 years into his seven-year prison sentence. Did Schimmel try to repeal the ACA? Yes.
Yeah.
In 2018, Schimmel helped lead a failed 20-state lawsuit that sought to have the Obamacare rule ruled unconstitutional. Did Schimmel offer a plea deal to a man whose attorney contributed to Schimmel's campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. As Waukesha County's DA, Schimmel offered a plea deal to a man charged with possession of child pornography. In the year before Schimmel won the state attorney general's election in 2014, the man's lawyer made monthly contributions to Schimmel's campaign, totaling $5,500. In exchange for the man pleading guilty to the charge in 2015, Schimmel agreed not to file more charges and recommended the mandatory minimum, a three-year prison sentence, which was imposed. There's a couple more here. Did Wisconsin taxpayers pay $1.6 million over an abortion restriction law that was ruled unconstitutional? Yes! Legal fees totaling the $1.6 million were paid to Planned Parenthood and others who sued over 2013 Wisconsin law that was ruled unconstitutional restriction on abortion access. Schimmel was responsible for some of the costs. He became state attorney general in 2015 and pursued appeals of the ruling. Hey, other people's money, right, Schimmel? Remember, he made those coins, K-A-E-D, kicking ass every day. Come back with us, kicking ass on Mondays, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, joins us next.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, former Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joins us to discuss the impact on Wisconsin of DOGE cuts. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community.
It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A trade war brewing between the U.S. and its top trading partners, Canada, Mexico, and China, dragging stocks down further today. Moody's chief economist Mark Zandi says the risk of a recession has more than doubled since the start of the year. President Trump defending his tariff policy, saying the disruption will be temporary. ABC's Mary Alice Parks is at the White House.
He's doubling down, defending his moves, defending the idea of tariffs, saying that they will, in the long run, be good for U.S. job creation, be good for onshoring, bringing back manufacturing to the United States, but really downplaying this concern that in the short term, they could also include an increase in prices for consumers. Of course, that's what companies, that's what investors are worried about, that companies are going to be forced to pass on the price of these tariffs to consumers in the form of higher prices.
Canada's newly elected Prime Minister, Mark Carney, who is replacing the outgoing Justin Trudeau, says Canada will not back down. This is ABC News.